Well, good evening. It is great to see everyone this evening. I think we got some visitors this evening as well. It's great to see you guys. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. A couple of weeks ago, Aurora had their gospel meeting, and I went on Tuesday evening to hear Mike Bonner. And I'm very thankful for him. He has some kids who go where Adam is at. And he's just been very uplifting for my brother, but he's been very uplifting for me as well. I appreciate him. One of the verses that he used out of Psalm 116 was verse number 12. And it says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Psalm 116, you can go back because we're going to start at verse 1. This psalm shifts a little bit at verse 12. And I would like to look at why. Beginning in verse 1, I want you to notice why that shift takes place. The psalmist here writes, we don't know the psalmist, who this is, what they're going through. There are a lot of psalms that we can go back to and look at who it is and why they would be writing those things. But here, the psalmist writes, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surround me and the pains of Sheol lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars." We get to verse 12. "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." Now, back up to verse 1. I love the Lord. Why? Because, well, he's heard my voice and he's heard my supplications. He has inclined his ear to me. He has listened to me. How incredible is it to know that God listens to us? How incredible is it to know when we pray that God is listening, that God is paying attention? This quarter is our fourth quarter at the Bible Institute, and I get to teach Revelation this quarter. And I'll tell you, those guys can tell you, I get excited in class. Other full-time instructors like Brent shut their doors because I get too loud sometimes. But I get excited. I love to study the Bible, and I love to help others see it as well. But in Revelation chapter 6, there's a point there where in this scene of the throne room of God that the things are taking place, the seals are being opened, and a part of that picture, beginning there in chapter 4 through chapter 6, one of the things that we see are these bowls of incense before the throne of God that are the prayers of the saints. You understand how incredible that is? We talk about places in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 that we have this high priest who understands all that we go through. Why? Because Jesus has been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And so in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace." That I can approach the throne of God and I can pray to him. You know that's what the psalmist is saying here? I love the Lord because he's listened to me. I have prayed and he's heard my prayers. He's heard my supplications. Not only that, notice how he is in verse 2. "Because he has inclined his ear to me." Therefore, I'll call upon him as long as I live. He's inclined his ear. Parents and grandparents, when you have little kids who want to talk to you, what do you have to do sometimes? Especially if you're like me and you're deaf, or seems like you are. Maybe there are certain pitches you can't hear and understand. You incline that ear, don't you? You get low. You get right there to them. And I think about this picture with God as we pray and we approach that throne of grace and we pray to him that he's inclining that ear. Why? Because he desires to have that relationship with us. He wants to know what we have to say. He desires to know what it is that we have trouble with or struggle with. And as the psalmist is writing here, what we're going to find is, boy, he has got a lot. He's going to be right up against the very, very face of death. You think about it, because he inclines his ear. Notice how verse number 2 ends. Not only does he incline his ear, but notice here what he says. Therefore, I'll call upon him as long as I live. This is not a time after time sort of thing. This is a lifetime that I will call upon him. This isn't until God lets me down, because here's the thing, God's never going to let us down. That's not who God is. God's never going to let us down. I'll call upon him because he cares and because he listens. I'm going to call upon him as long as I live. He is not going to be my backup plan. He is not my last-ditch effort. He is the first one that I'm going to. Why? Because he inclines his ear. He loves me. He cares for me. I love him too. Because he's the one who's going to listen to me. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and think about these words that Paul writes. As he is sitting in a Roman prison, he's writing what we call the prison epistles. And as he is writing, you think about Philippians specifically here in chapter 4 and what he has to say to the church at Philippi. Excuse me. We'll just begin in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. How's he going to say then? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Look at the results in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't need to be anxious for anything, but... So here's the contrast to me being anxious. I get to call on God. Go back to Psalm 116 for a second. We're going to keep your finger there because we're going to be going back and forth. But I think about this, that the psalmist is writing and he says, I love the Lord because he's heard my prayers, my supplications. The same thing that Paul writes here. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, lest your requests be made known. This is what the psalmist knows. So therefore, I'll call upon him as long as I live. He listens to me. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to have all of this burden and things that I carry around with me. Instead, I can let those things go. I can give those to him. And notice what happens. I have peace. That's what takes place. Is I have peace, as Paul writes. Verse 3 says, the pains of death surround me. This is the cords of death that he is, basically these cords have tied him up. He is bound by these cords of death. The pains of Sheol have laid hold of me. Those pains, that distress, everything about this life, all of the bad stuff has found me. It's my turn to go through all of those things. And you can see those cords of death, pains of death, they have surrounded me, laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. That idea there, finding trouble and sorrow, is that's all that's going on. That's all that he sees in his life right now. That's all that's taking place. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Verse 5 gives us that result. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. We talked about Matthew 5, verse 7 in our lesson this morning, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Because we demonstrate those godly characteristics. Here again, we see what God does for us in our life. That He is a merciful God. That He sees the things that we go through. He sees those things that we are having to deal with. And what He knows is this. The psalmist knows. I just give to Him. I'm going to call on Him. I'm not going to carry these things around. This is what's happened. Trouble and sorrow are what I have. But man, God is gracious. God loves me. He's inclined His ear to me. He listens to me. God is righteous, meaning that He is right at all times. Right every time. Especially in the lives of His children. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return me to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Keep your finger there at Psalm 116. We'll go back. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to think about the life of the Apostle Paul and everything that he goes through, everything that he deals with. And what God does in our life, God that is gracious, a God that is righteous, a God that is merciful, that preserves the simple. You get much lower than when you remember the things that you used to do that were ungodly. Those things that kept you away from Him or separated you. Notice Paul here beginning in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you see that abundance of grace that comes in verse number 14? The fact that we have Jesus who has come to seek and save the lost, as He said Himself in Luke 19 and verse number 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you think about the abundance of mercy, the abundance of grace, the abundance of these spiritual blessings that come from the presence of the Lord. He says, for this reason I obtained mercy. Because if Jesus could save a guy like me, then Jesus could save anybody. How many times have we said those type of things to others? Knowing the things that perhaps we have done, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we've done awful things, robbing banks or killing somebody. But we know the things that we've done in our lives that separated us from God. We know those things that took place in our lives, and we know the attitudes that we've had. We know the ungodliness and things that we have demonstrated in our lives. Paul, look what he writes. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor. You can go back to Acts chapter 26 and start to see Paul before Agrippa. And he tells him, I was the one that was dragging people out of their homes. And I was pulling them before the courts. And I was casting my votes against them for them to die. We can go back and look at places like Acts chapter 7 where we see him for the first time and he's carrying the coats or guarding the coats of those who are stoning Stephen, the servant of God. Paul says, look, this is the things, these are the things I have done. This is the man that I was. I was a, that word insolent there in Verse number 13 says, I was violent. I desired to see those people die. And yeah, I did it in unbelief, not knowing what I was doing. And he would tell Agrippa, I thought that what I was doing was necessary to be against Jesus Christ, to do those things against him. You suppose the psalmist here in Psalm 116, and you can go back there, knows the things he's done? I was brought low. He saved me. You see the relationship? How incredible is that relationship that we get to have with God? The God who loves us. We used to sing the song when I was a kid, I love the Lord, and the chorus end with, I love the Lord because he first loved me. And we can look at places like 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, and we can see just how much he loved us. That he would send Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. That he would be the one in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that verse starts with God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that's the love that God at all times demonstrates. It's the love that at all times he shows. And how incredible is it to be able to look at these words and be able to see and understand where I have been in my life, the ungodly things that I have done, to know that now as a child of God, this is what God wants for me is the best. He longs for that relationship. He loves me. He listens to me. He gets me and delivers me out of those difficulties and those things. There's nothing too big for God. We get ourselves into those situations and we think we're in over our heads. Well, let me tell you something, we're not. In our own eyes, we are. This is where he was. God delivers. In verse number 8, he says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. You ever hit rock bottom? God delivers. God is the one who delivers. The result is I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And in verse 10 and 11 he says, I believe, therefore I spoke. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Look at James chapter 1. I love James. We call James at times, and again, hold your finger there, Psalm 116. We'll come back. A lot of times we call James the gospel of common sense, right? I love common sense and logic. I like to be able to think through things and process things. Notice what James says here in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. He's just talked about dealing with difficulty and God helping us through all of those trials. He says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Is that what the psalmist did? I said in my haste. No, I was very quick to speak. I was slow to do anything and everything else. Why is that a big deal? Look at verse 20. James says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You see, this is why, if you go back to Psalm 116, this is why we see that shift take place. I said in my haste, all men are liars. He was not swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Instead, he was quick to speak and would have been quick to wrath. So in verse 12 of Psalm 116, you see the shift. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I do for the one who has blessed me in more ways than I could ever begin to explain, than I could ever begin to repay? What shall I do? What can I render to him? I think about places like John chapter 14 and verse 15. There Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those are the things I can render. Those are the actions now that I can make sure that toward God I'm demonstrating. You see, what he's saying here is I can't just give lip service. It can't be one of those things where I say I love God because he's inclined his ear to me. God's delivered me. You see, everything that what we see from God is action. You say, I prayed and I gave my prayer and my supplication. He inclined his ear. He listened. He's the one who delivered. Everything about me was going and spiraling toward death. And here I am. So he begins to then go through and starts in verse 13 to demonstrate those things, or to talk about those things he is going to demonstrate now in his life. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What he means here is I will do whatever it takes to please him. Whatever comes in my life, whatever happens to me, I'm going to use those circumstances to praise and demonstrate my love to him. Think about Acts chapter 16 with Paul. He's in Philippi and he has driven the spirit, commanded the spirit to come out of that little servant girl, costing her masters so much money now. And they have Paul dragged before the court. They beat him. They throw him and command the jailer, throw him in the innermost part of the prison. Well, what are they doing? Singing, praising God, praying to him. You see, regardless, I'll accept that cup. Think about Jesus on the night that he was betrayed in the garden. Three times, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, your will be done. So what does Jesus do? Regardless of the cup that I'm dealt, I'm going to glorify you. So what is the psalmist saying? Because of everything you've done in my life, everything that comes upon me, I will look for the way to glorify you. Regardless of my circumstance, regardless of the situation, I'm going to glorify you. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. You ever made a hasty vow to God? I'll tell you about mine. I used to smoke for about 20 years. I was driving home from college in Oklahoma City to go back to Mexico. It was Thanksgiving break. And I was getting to finally go home. I was 8 hours from home. And I was driving through Wichita, Kansas. It was raining in Oklahoma on I-35. And I got into Kansas and suddenly found myself, I was the only one in the fast lane. I thought that God was smiling on me until I looked in my side view mirror and there was a sheet of ice that was coming off of it. And then I realized, oh, moron, you are flying on ice. Everybody else is smart and has slowed down. That rain's no longer just rain. It's freezing rain. But because of how far I'd already driven, and it was cold, so the heater was on, melted everything that was hitting the windshield, I had no idea. So I let off everything. I put the gear shift in neutral, and I just coasted so that I could slow down. And it got to the K-10 bridge. At the K-10 bridge, I was now in the right-hand lane. There was a semi in the left-hand lane, and he hit that bridge, and his trailer went whoop, and he clipped the front of my truck, and I thought I was going over. Thankfully enough, I hit the concrete barrier, and we were going slow. It's not like we were going fast at all, maybe 10 miles an hour. He hit my truck, and he pushed me into that cement barricade, and I started being like a pinball. I started coming back the other direction. Well, either way on that bridge, it's not a soft landing into the median. You fall because there's a road underneath of you. And so, Lord, if you just get me through this, I won't smoke again. I think, I don't know, maybe a pack and a half by the time that I got back on the road to go. Did I fulfill my vow? No, I sure didn't. You see, making a promise to God is not the problem. The problem is when we don't fulfill it. Do you see what the psalmist says here in verse 14? He says the same thing in verse 18. Those vows that I have made, not only will I carry them out, but I'm going to carry them out publicly for people to be able to see it, for people to be able to know. You see, we don't just make these hasty promises and vows to God. We've got to make sure that we think through that process. that we understand what we are promising Him and then we carry them out. But because this psalmist knows everything that God has done for him, oh man, regardless of the circumstance, you're going to be praised. The vows that I have made, the promises that I have made, I'm going to keep them. And not only that, I'm going to make sure everybody knows. I will show those things publicly in the presence of all His people. So not only just people in general, this is His people, this is my brethren. They're going to know that God, He's God. He's number one in my life, and I'm going to show that to everyone. Why? Because verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Look with me at Revelation 14. A lot of times in Revelation, it's one of those verses that we go to. I love this verse. I love this verse. Revelation chapter 14. We're going to go to verse number 13. This is John. He says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write." You know how important that is? Not tell. Write. I want this to last forever. I want everyone to be able for all generations to read these words. Write. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." You know what that means? That means God knows what I've done. He's paid attention. And I'm precious to Him. Oh, I'm precious to Him. You see, that's what the psalmist is saying too. I'm precious. That's what God counts me as, is precious. That's what God thinks of me, that I'm precious. I'm valuable. In fact, you could use the word priceless, because that's why He gave His Son. It's the part of Him that He gives to each one of us to be made and created in His image, precious in the sight of the Lord at the death of His saints. If you go back to Psalm 116, he finishes out, "O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant." You see, he says it twice. Truly, I'm your servant. I am your servant. That's who I am. That's what my life consists of. Serving you. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. So maybe you think about, perhaps this is a guy that would be a second generation at least Christian or follower of God, child of God. "You have loosed my bonds." He's given that spiritual liberation, freedom from sin. "You've loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I'll offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Look with me at Psalm 119. I know we're right there close. 105. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments." Those few verses reminded me very much of what he is going through and saying here. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I know where I'm to walk. I know where I'm to tread. I know how I am to live. I have sworn and confirmed. So I back up what I vowed to you, that I'm going to keep your commandments. And he wants him in verse 108 to accept that praise, the free will offerings that he gives. You see, I'm going to make sure, if you go back to Psalm 116, I offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I will be obedient to you. I'm going to obey the things that you would have me to do. Those are the things that are going to make up my life now. Again, verse 18 goes along with verse 14 again. You may vow in private, but demonstrate that in public. I will pay my vows. I will keep my word. And he finishes Psalm 116 to say, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The word praise can also be seen as hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all that he has done. Praise the Lord for everything in our lives that he has accomplished. And in doing so, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'm going to fulfill everything that I've ever obligated to him, including my life. My life is going to be lived in service to him. That's what I'm going to render. Me. My service. Anything that comes at me, it's me. I'm going to render everything. I am your servant. I am your servant. Everything that I am, I render to you. I want to be yours. How about you? You think about the things that God has done in your life and being able to say that I'm a child of God, being able to know that he hears your prayers, being able to know that he cares for you, that you're precious in his sight, that you're valuable because he gave his son for you so that you could go to heaven. We get to live for him every day, regardless of circumstance. People ask you, how are you doing? I am fantastic. I am blessed. I'm a child of God. How could I be anything else? How could I be anything else? I get to be a child of God. I get to live for him every day so I can live with him for all eternity. If you don't have the ability to say that this evening, won't you change that? Won't you make that right? Maybe perhaps by becoming a child of God, being willing to repent of your sin, confess Jesus as the Son of God, submit, be baptized where his blood washes away your sins and you rise to walk in newness of life. Faithful to him, serving him. I am your servant. That's what I will render, is my life in service to you. Or perhaps tonight, as a child of God, you look at your life and that's not what's being rendered. But right now, it's more for you than it is for God, and there are things in your life that you need to change. We can help you this evening. We'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.